So we are ready to start. Let me welcome you from my heart. This is our concluding session for the Sacred Space Retreat. I have heard that several of our guests, our devotees, had only the opportunity to attend yesterday, Saturday, but they have requested that we send them the recorded version of today's workshop. I'm delighted that everything went so far so good, because this is the first time I do this here in New Vrindavan, and I must thank the managers of this sacred space for their blood, sweat and tears to make this happen. I'm not sure if the lighting looks a little spooky, isn't it? Like, as if I'm already in Yamaloka. So maybe we should, I don't know, increase. Yeah, that is definitely welcome. Hare Krishna. I think you all marvel about my sense of humor. I notice you always laugh when I speak. I'm very serious. Siam Prabhu, you try.
Where's this lighting from the other age?
Or just the regular. Now it's even this is past life activities. Let us first get this clear, because this is good, no? Yeah, thank you. You know everything. Thank you. This is all right?
Yeah.
Good. There's a beautiful tune which Prabhupada sang. And we will sing this. We usually play quite slow and soft. It's different than normal. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna,
Hare 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 Krishna Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
From your heart,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare
Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare space is a very real space which is described in the sacred scriptures in many, many places. For instance, there is a prayer to the Lord from a Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto where Narada Muni addresses Krishna like this. O Krishna, Krishna, unlimited Lord, source of all mystic power, Lord of the universe. And then he describes Krishna as Vasudev, the Supreme Soul. And then he says, Guru Guha Shaya Shakshi, which means you sit unseen within the cave of the heart, like the fire dormant within kindling. Wood. No? In all wood, you have fire, which is there because the sun has so much put its fiery energy through the sun rays into the wood. It's unseen there, but it can come out by contact with another fire. In the same way, Krishna sits unseen within the cave of the heart. Guru Gufa Shaya. Gufa means cave. It's a space. It's inside. You are there unseen, but you can also become seen, like the fire in the wood, which can, we can see it. It's possible. You all have matches and you have made the experience of how it comes out. So Krishna also will manifest for you if you just know how to meet him, how to make contact. So for this purpose, we have first of all started with basic teachings, and we will today go to more advanced teachings. The basic teachings were that we become first of all aware who we are. You know, if you don't know yourself or don't realize yourself as a spirit, spirit in this captured in the body and the sense apparatus of the body, who will make contact? Will your mind make contact, or will your body touch Krishna? No, your soul has to make contact and touch Krishna, because Krishna is of the soulful energy, the spiritual energy. No? Equal components can come together, not unequal components. Water and fire will not come together. Fire and fire comes together. So, yes, this was the first teachings. I have simply, yes, let me go systematically. And the second thing was that we have to practice being an observer of the world around us. I tried to teach that yesterday in the workshop, but I have to excuse myself. I was not so satisfied, and I got very good and supportive feedback how to do it better, and I'm trying to do this today a little better. I will do a meditation. I will repeat these meditations with you so that you learn them a little bit. But we are still here in the theoretical part of this workshop. The third teaching is to see everything connected with Krishna. Yomam Hare Krishna. Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra. Sarvam Cha Mai Pashyati. Is he ever lost to me. If you want to connect with Krishna, you have to see Krishna through the eyes of the scriptures. At that time, connection will be very easy. I will now do a little meditation with you, and afterwards I will ask you to share with your neighbor what has happened with you in the meditation. And therefore, I request you so that you can have a very fruitive and very fruitive is maybe a word we don't like to use. A very fruitful. I'm trying to learn your language. So that you have a very fruitful discussion. I request you to really participate now very deeply. To see Krishna, you have to have eyes to see Krishna. These eyes are given to us by Shastra, by scripture. There is this word Shastra Shakshu, seeing through the eyes of the scriptures. This is how you can see Krishna everywhere and see everything in Krishna. My dear devotees, sit tall. The idea of sitting tall is that there is a better energy flow, and you will be it will be much easier for you to concentrate. You are all experienced meditators, so we will go a little fast. When you are ready, please close your eyes. But before that, I request you to just look around and see the room as you can see it. Then you will feel more peaceful when you close your eyes. We will wait until everyone is situated. Now, while you meditate, no need to drink and eat. have to, because some of us are new in this spiritual life, so I always have to. And some of you are Hare Krishnas who do things in a different way. You know, I've seen people chanting Gayatri Mantra and talking while they do. Devotees are driving or listening. You know, we are what we are. People on the path of improvement. So, look around. And when you're ready, close your eyes, please. Concentrate on your breathing. Just observe. Observe what is happening in the air which is all around you, enters into your nostrils. What sensation is there in the nostrils? Only breathe through the nostrils, not the mouth. Experience the sensation. Is it maybe a little cooling? A little fresh? A little sharp? Is one of the nostrils more blocked than the other? Just observe. whatever you observe is what it is. No need to change it. Just become aware. Slowly deepen your breath. You can deepen your breath very easily when you lengthen the exhaling breath. Lengthen your breath when it exhales. Try to lengthen it a little bit more so that your breath becomes more deep. Breathing is a gift. Krishna says, Pranosmi. When you breathe in now, imagine a golden light coming with the inhaling breath into your nostrils and going from your nostrils into your heart space. Breathe in not just air, but together with the air, a golden light. It's like a little road or a little stream, a bent stream, goes into the heart space. Consciously breathe in a golden light. Light of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, if you want, or the light of the effulgence of Sri Radha. Think just golden, no need of any other concepts. And feel when you breathe in your heart expanding with a joyous energy. Whenever you direct your attention towards that heart space, you're actually approaching your sacred space. You can immediately feel it. It's not just words. Imagine the golden light coming to your heart space and filling it up. In that space is Krishna. We would like to now hear a few verses from the Bhagavad Gita which teach us to look through the eyes of scripture and connect with Krishna. These are verses which our own Srila Prabhupada so often used to show us that everyone, indeed every single person, can be conscious of Krishna by seeing through the eyes of the scripture. While you keep on gently breathing, listen with your whole attention. Let your attention follow the words of the Gita, just like a calf follows the mother cow. Follow with your attention. I am the taste of water. I am the light of the sun and the moon. I am the syllable Om and the Vedic mantras. Chant the Om now. I will chant it one time alone and then we chant it together. I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om, and the Vedic mantras. Slowly come back to room awareness. Open your eyes. Look around. Maybe stretch. Your brain waves have gone to a deeper state. I think a scientist, if he would measure you, he would see you are in the, please help me, was it theta or gamma or what, or delta? You know, I know the energy shifts by doing this. I wanted to combine here two things. That is to again bring you to that space which is really there. I mean, you can, if I look at you, you look really different. You came for a little moment in, I would say, a room before your sacred space. You're almost there. You're just, you know, we are practicing, and it does take time. When you really go inside, you will, it will still be an addition to what you experience now. But you are doing very well. I'm impressed with you. So this was the first thing, but the second thing, more important here, is connection, seeing through the eyes of the scriptures. I would like you to turn to a neighbor, could be any word body, it will not be a very confidential question where you need maybe a good friend to your side, and then I will give you a task. Please find a neighbor, please do it fast. Who has not yet found a neighbor, please raise your hand. And while you raise your hand, look around, and then you will find a neighbor. Team up with someone who has not found. If it's absolutely more convenient to you, you can also pair, build groups of three. Okay, now please listen to your task. I request you now to discuss with your neighbor or with your partner the following question. When in your life have you looked through the eyes of Scripture and understood a thing or a situation better as you looked with this perspective? Is the question clear, Sukhavaha? Sukhavaha looks at me with, that's not a good question, Maharaj. I'm sorry?
I didn't say it was a good one, it seems like it's maybe a hard one.
Okay, can you make it easier? Sukhavaha is my mentor. I just caught you, fetched you out of space. No, then let's make it easy. All of you read, right? You are a reading human beings or a non-reading human beings? reading. Good. you read also in Prabhupada's books and sacred scriptures, I assume. At least that's what we are told to do. I know some of you are extremely rebellious and read very rarely. Only under the greatest pressure of misery will you ever turn to Prabhupada's books. But also you. when you have read something in the scripture, share with your neighbor what you have read in the scriptures and which struck you, which has enlarged your perspective, where you have learned something. Share that thing which you have read recently. If that is a big, if you are like most Hare Krishnas, that you have read 2 months ago, the last time, then you can just remember what you heard in a lecture or what you saw in the script. I'm sorry, I'm very critical of the Hare Krishna movement, you might notice that, but don't worry, I'm a very loyal and very sold out member of this movement, and I'm part of this, you know. Is it better, Sukhava?
Could also be maybe one has a scriptural reference come alive for you and light?
Very good. See, Sukama is, I don't know if you know, we have discussed many things together when I first came to New York. Good. When did a particular scriptural reference, part of the scripture, come alive for you? Bhanunandini, we have to write down these questions, you know, it's very important. We, thank you, Sukhava. You are a member of our team. So, is the question clear to you, all of you? Sankirtan, are you satisfied with this question?
Yes.
Good. Very good question. So, listen again. Share with your neighbor when has a particular scriptural reference come alive for you? Something you have read, something you have heard from the scriptures, because that is seeing through the eyes of the scripture. Gosunda, you have understood? Good. Start now.
Thank you.
see, I will mention that. Yeah, I got that. Yeah. Scriptures is a powerful way to connect with Krishna. For that, I really encourage you to read regularly. It will really help you to realize things. Prabhupada, in one lecture, I've just learned from Kamala Sundari, Kamalavati, yes. That Srila Prabhupada said, when you, please repeat, what?
When you hear from the scripture, then you see with realize, and that's how you realize things.
Yeah. When you read from the scriptures, then you see what is real, and that is how you realize something. Huh? The scriptures tell you what's real, and then you look in that direction, and then you realize it. I found that out when I read in the Bhagavad Gita these verses, some of these verses which I have read to you. I remember particularly one time I went to Belgrade, and it was spring. And you know, the Serbian spring is just wonderful. There are all these flowers, especially they have a lot of cherry trees, and they burst forth in flower, and it looked just so wonderful. And I happened to be a nature lover, and I saw all these flowers and looked at how the nature was decorating herself as if she was going to meet her beloved, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She looked just so absolutely gorgeous. So then I remember I was overwhelmed by this realization, because as I was looking at it, I realized Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "I am the flower-bearing spring." Do you remember this quotation? "I am the flower-bearing spring." And somehow, my dear devotees, because I looked at the beauty of nature through the eyes of the Shastras, in other words, I was directed to what is real, I realized, my God, this is my Lord. And I remember I was so fired up. I went to this lecture, I gave it in a hall. Usually I give my lectures in, it's called the place for cultural decontamination. Not contamination, decontamination, you know. There I give a lot of lectures, the hall for cultural decontamination, but this was another hall I gave it, and there were two Mormons. Do you know Mormons, people? They come from Utah in Ohio, no? You're laughing.
Utah, yes.
And they always ask you, do you know the Book of Mormon? You know? This is your people. So there were two Mormon preachers in the hall who listened to my lecture. And I was just so happy. I was thinking, look, you know, just look out of the window. Do you see this beauty? This is Krishna. He says, "I'm the flower-bearing spring." And they came to me afterwards and said, "Man, are you a good preacher?" They really appreciated it. And I said, "It's not about me. I just read this in the Gita. Just look, you know." And I was fully because I was realizing something. I saw what was real. The eyes of the scripture teach you what is real. And then when you contact that and you realize, you become so absolutely alive. That's why I like Sukhavara's rephrasing of the question. What came alive for you when you read the scriptures? This was what came alive in my life. I just had this realization. I tried it with "I'm the taste and water," but it was also good, but this was really good, you know, this realization. It really came. I remember when I was a young devotee, I came into a situation as I was preaching. I went to a place, an alternative house of alternative culture, and I remember I saw a scene where two people were just quarreling with each other. And I remember as I was witnessing their quarrel, I could understand, my God, it's true, we live in Kali Yuga, where people become enemies over little things. I remember that was like also came alive for me. I really believed, yes, this is the Kali Yuga. These two people are quarreling over a meaningless little thing, you know. And so I understood who the power of Kali. I encourage you to read the scriptures, but do it in a special way. Do it in the Upanishadic way. That is, you read This is called Shravana. And then you absolutely must do the second step, which is Manaha. Manaha means to reflect. It's like eating. You know, it's not enough to just stick some food in your mouth. You must also chew it so that it can be absorbed by the body. If you just put some food in your mouth and then you gulp it down, then you can't absorb it and digest it. I don't know if I can chew on this, you know, but even if I could chew on this, I could digest even this. So you need to do, when you read something, take some time off and reflect it. Think what it means. And the best way to do that is when you want to share it with someone else, because then you have to first digest it. You have to think about it. Then the next thing is, the next step after reading comes reflecting, and then comes applying. When you apply it, it's almost like swallowing down the chewed food, and then it will give you strength in your life. This is how you must read sacred scriptures. You shouldn't read it like most of the Hare Krishnas who just hear it. You know, have you noticed Bhagavatam lectures? When you ask anyone what was the text we were working on or trying to understand this morning in the Bhagavatam class, no one has ever any idea what it was. It was just came in one ear and went out the other. Because we don't reflect. We are the unreflecting movement. We don't reflect. And that's why we have a lot of immaturity and neophyteness, even after many years in our movement. I'm trying now to provoke you a little bit, because I have only a few more minutes your attention, then the retreat is over, and I don't wish you to slip back to normal life. You need to go back to an extraordinary life, and that happens only if you apply what you have learned. I will only provoke you one more time, but that will be so much that your egos will jump under the ceiling. Because I want to bring you to a certain stage of realization. So this is important. Seeing through the eyes of the scriptures, it will help you to connect with Krishna and to connect in this way with your sacred space. There is something which I would like to share with you. You can also serve Krishna in your mind. When you serve Krishna in your mind, that is accepted by Krishna. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, writes Prabhupada, Janada, is bhavagrahi, or appreciative of the sentiment, for him a path made with actual jewels and a path made of mental jewels are the same. Though subtle, mind is also matter. So any path, indeed anything for the service of the Lord, whether in gross or subtle matter, is accepted equally by the Supreme Lord. The Lord accepts the attitude of his devotee and sees how much he is prepared to serve him. An example of entering the sacred space of where he served Lord Chaitanya is Nrisimha Nanda Brahmachari. I want to tell you the story of Nrisimha Nanda Brahmachari, and you will very easily understand what it means to enter the sacred space. Nishinananda, this brahmachari, was a devotee of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. When he heard that Lord Chaitanya would go from Kuliagram to Vrindavan, he became very pleased. My Lord is going to Vrindavan. And mentally, he began to make a road for the Lord to walk on. He contemplated a broad road, starting from the city of Kulia. Then, to make the road better, he bedecked it with jewels. Here in New Vrindavan we can see these stone bricks which were lovingly put by the devotees. It was a, you know, the parking lot is full of these, the roads are full of these, some pathways. Nishingananda took jewels and in his meditation made such roads. And then he thought, all the jewels are a little bit too hard for my Lord's lotus feet. The lotus feet are so soft. Look at the lotus feet of the Lord. It's very soft. So in his meditation, he placed stemless flowers on the jewel road. So much love. Then he thought, but the sun is very hot. God wants to go to Vrindavan. We must make some first class shade. And he mentally placed flower bearing bakula trees on the left and the right side of the roads. But still he thought, this is not enough. It's so hot. Okay, my Lord will walk in the shade, but you know, I'm meditating on this road. I can make a first class road. I want that more sweet breezes are there. So occasionally, in intervals, he placed lakes which had a transcendental nature. Divya Pushkarini. Let us look at these lakes which were constructed by Nishingananda Brahmachari in his mind. They had bathing places constructed with the best of jewels. They were filled with blossoming lotus flowers. If you want to see such lotus flowers, please go before Prabhupada's palace. There is a lake and there are huge lotus flowers. I've never seen before in my life such lotus flowers. Really, it looks like a surrealistic painting from Salvador Dali. It's so beautiful. There were various birds chirping. And the water was exactly like nectar. To make the air even more fragrant, he placed many flowers there. When the air came from the lotus lakes, through the flowers, through the shady bakula trees, they made a perfumed road on which his Lord could go. Think now, through the eyes of the great devotees, you've heard to see through the eyes of Shastra, but now I request you to see through the eyes of Rupa Goswami and vision this beautiful picture of Gauranga Mahaprabhu singing and dancing in kirtan. Now see, you see one thing, now with your eyes, but I will now give your eyes a special ability to see, because you will now see through the eyes of Rupa Goswami. Lord Chaitanya's form is effulgent as gold. Look at him. Millions of cupids have taken shelter in each one of his limbs. He has big lotus eyes, which are glistening with tears. Sleep never overwhelms the eyes of the Lord. His long arms reach down to his knees, and when he raises them, he looks tall like a tree. There's a silken garment more beautiful than the rising sun, which decorates his hips. He's decorated with sandalwood bangles and armlets. He wears these decorations to dance in Sri Krishna's Sankirtan. Now look at his face. His face is decorated with smiling glances, which looks like a cluster of flowers. His smile drives away the bereavements of the participants in the retreat. His smile. As he comes down the path, he moves elegantly like a young elephant. He's absorbed in loudly chanting his own names. See how he's absorbed. Full of jubilation, he first drinks the nectar of the divine names with his own mouth, and then he discharged the nectar of the holy name through his mouth. Now he starts to dance in transcendental bliss. His whole body glistens with profuse perspiration. Take shelter at his lotus feet. This will invoke your transcendental love of Godhead. Now please fold your hands and mentally pray to Lord Gauranga. Mentally. Oh my Lord Gauranga, for the surrendered devotees, you are wish-fulfilling Kalpa Vriksha tree. Please fulfill my desire to meet you in the sacred space of my heart. You, Gauranga, have gone to the ocean of nectar and taken out the jewels of pure devotional service. These jewels you have taken and thrown them into this world. Please throw the jewel of bhakti in my direction also. I am filled with a great host of faults, but you never see the slightest fault in any one of your devotee. Who can properly describe you? Even the great intellectual Sarvabhauma became silent when he was trying to describe your glories. O festival of happiness for this world, O splendid moon of glory, O son of Sachi, please be merciful to me, a great fool. this means seeing Lord Chaitanya, or seeing the Lord through the eyes of his devotees, that will bring you very quickly to the sacred space, because they are there, these great devotees. This also holds true when you pray. When you pray in the words of the great devotees, like the prayers of Queen Kunti, or the Sharanagati prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I highly recommend to all of you to pray in the voice of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. O Lord, you are the fountainhead of all mercy. Kindly show me your compassion. Isn't it your promise that one who takes refuge in you will come to no harm? I'm a sinner. I have no other shelter. Please, I beg for a place at your lotus feet. Oh, when will I become free from the incessant flow of material desires and thus become exclusively yours? You are eternally to be served, and I'm your eternal servant. My dear devotees, please turn again to your partner for your second exercise today. The question which I request you to discuss with your partner is, when have you prayed in your life, and what happened when you prayed? Is this a good question? Oh, God. Start now. You're also meditative today. Thank you. Krishna. Very nice that you begin to discuss. So all what we are doing here comes under the heading trying to connect with Krishna. Shall we show? I'm trying to connect with you. This is how you enter the spiritual space, if you try to connect with Krishna. Try to connect by seeing Krishna through the eyes of the scriptures, because we are blind, so blind, or through the eyes of the devotees. We have taught you also under this department or heading, seeing Krishna through the eyes of the devotees, something which Nishinananda Brahmachari did. There will be a time in your life when you might be ill, or you might be sad, or you might be a little bit incapacitated, but this doesn't stop your service. You can build castles for Krishna. You can preach to 30,000 people each evening in your mind. And Krishna will accept that. You know, and while you do this devotional service for Krishna, you will see how you enter the sacred space through the connection which happens. It's all about connection. Now, you might think, what will Krishna feel as we are trying to connect? A little while ago, last year, I celebrated birthday in a grand style, and I got many, many birthday presents. As much as a room for, you know, like a little child who gets toys. And amongst these birthday presents, there was a little frame with a picture. And this little frame with a picture was more important to me than a GPS system. I got a GPS system. She's called Rosie. The GPS system. And I got socks and a candle and many useful presents. But this particular present was the best. And I always keep it. The other presents I have sometimes given away because there's only so much an individual can have. This present was special, and whenever I think of it, I become very moved. Can I show you this present? It was a little picture like this. It shows someone holding a letter which says, trying to connect with you. But because I didn't want to be self-indulgent, I erased my name, Sachinandan Swami. Trying to connect with you, Sachinandan Swami. Krishna holds a letter from each one of us. When you try to connect with Krishna, a letter goes to him into the transcendental space, the sacred space in Vrindavan. Huh? And it says, trying to connect with you, signed Sankirtan Das, or signed Sukhavaha Dasi, or signed Mitra Sena Das. Or, you know, Krishna takes note of your endeavor to connect with him. He gets the letter and he considers your case. He considers when is the right time. This brings us to my last point for the seminar. I would like to tell you that, my dear devotees, it's time to get serious about the proper mood in Krishna consciousness. You should feel that without Krishna my life is empty. That eagerness to meet Krishna will please him. Sometimes devotees become discouraged because they tried so hard over 1 month or 2 months or 1 year or 10 years or 20 years or 40 years, and they feel Krishna has not yet answered in the same intensity in which I'm calling out for him. They feel like this. I don't know if you also sometimes feel like that. I think we feel sometimes like this. Oh, has Krishna really abandoned me? But Krishna never abandons anyone of his living, his servants. And Krishna made this very clear when he sent Uddhava to the gopis. The gopis in Vrindavan had this question. They said, Krishna, we gave our life to you. This was their question. And you took it, but then you just left for Mathura, never to return. What behavior have you shown by doing this? Are you ungrateful? Do you have a problem with your character? You know, like this, the gopis felt. So Krishna, in order to pacify the gopis and answer their question, why are you not responding, our love? Why are you not reciprocating? He sent his messenger Uddhava. And according to the words of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that message which Uddhava carried explained a little bit what is Krishna's mood towards his devotees in this world who are trying to connect with him. He said, Krishna said, the actual reason why I have stayed far away from you is that I wanted to intensify your meditation upon me and thus draw your minds closer to me. That's my intention. And then Krishna gave an illustration through Uddhava. When her lover is far away, a woman thinks of him more than when he is present before her. That's why I went away a little bit, because then you think more of me. Because your minds are totally absorbed in me and free from all other engagement, you then remember me always, and so you will very soon have me again in your presence. Do you sometimes have this when someone who you like is far away from you, you think more of them? Do you feel that? I think every one of us feels. And sometimes we can't think of anyone else than the person. And we think how careless I was in the presence of this person. But now I'm thinking, my God, even when I wake up in the night, I'm thinking of this person. So Krishna sometimes creates an artificial separation. This is what Krishna explains. Artificial because he's not far away. He looks at his devotees, how they will be doing in his separation. So Uddhava explained this message of Krishna to the gopis, that I have left you for a reason. I want that you become more absorbed in me, and in this way, by being totally absorbed in me, you will be totally together with me. So then Uddhava did the only thing which gives solace to someone who is feeling separation from Krishna. Do you know what is the only solace which you can have when you feel strong separation from a beloved person? You must hear about the person. So Uddhava poured the nectar of Krishna's pastimes into the ears of the gopis, and he gave a very particular message to the gopis which Krishna had given him. He said, Uddhava, when you come to Vrindavan, tell this to the gopis, and with it to all devotees who feel separated from Krishna. O you who are as dear to me as life, you are now standing before my messenger Uddhava. I request you, close your eyes now. Just as the cowherd boys had closed their eyes when they were surrounded by a raging forest fire, and just like I came to them when they closed their eyes and meditated about me, close your eyes now, and I will deliver you from the devastating fire of separation. Witness my mystic power. So Uddhava had told the gopis to close their eyes and they would see something. Usually when you close your eyes you see nothing. But we know now from the sacred seminar, sacred space seminar, if you close your eyes and you enter into that space, you see everything. So the gopis immediately closed their eyes, and in a flash of a second, Yogamaya compressed millions of years of time into a single moment, and that single moment was seeing Krishna. Krishna appeared, and in the company of the gopis enjoyed the rasa dance. He appeared in the Vrindavan forest, playing dice, drinking honey liquor, water sporting was going on, swing pastimes. By enjoying all these pastimes, the gopis forgot all their pain of separation. Seeing that, the gopis were in ecstasy as they stood there closing the eyes and seeing everything in the sacred space of their heart. Uddhava paused for a moment and allowed them to stay in that space. Then he said, I don't think he had cartels, but he said that, now ladies, open your eyes again. The gopis came back. They opened their eyes and they felt as if they had taken a new birth through the bestowal of a thousandfolded bliss. So my dear devotees, this is the secret of the sacred space. If you can connect in your devotional mind with Sri Krishna by seeing through the eyes of the scripture, by seeing through the eyes of the devotees, by praying, then you will meet Krishna through strong feelings of separation. You will be together with him in your heart, and that togetherness is very desired for any sincere practitioner of Krishna consciousness. you will also feel a thousandfold bliss. And the gopis, when they opened their eyes again, felt the same bliss continue. I so much remember Prabhupada at this time. When he was asked in New York, Swamiji, are you with us? Are you in New York here? Are you here? He said, no, I'm somewhere else. I'm in Vrindavan. Then Vrindavan was the Vrindavan of his heart. His body stayed in New York, in America, but he was really in another space, the sacred space of the heart. I wish that this little seminar, which really was compressed, 1,000 subjects were compressed in a little thing, a little presentation, that it gives you an impetus to start to search for that place. And for this, I at the end want to give you 3 powerful practices. You have already learned them. These three powerful practices, it's a summary of what I taught you, are very simple and very easy. Everyone can do this, even a newcomer, but of course the deeper you do them, the more you will arrive in the deepest place, in the sacred space. The first practice is understand that you are not the body but an eternal soul. You need to practice this every day. Greet yourself. You know, you are American, so greet yourself joyfully. Hi, eternal soul. You know, when you are looking in the mirror, hi, eternal soul. Don't think you are the body, you know. The second is, take on the role of the observer. Observe your life. Don't react immediately to what happens. You will become more and more spiritual if you take that observer role. It's point one, really, put into practice in daily life. And the third point is, practice your spiritual life with taste. And that taste will come when you feel a connection with Krishna, sambandha, a relationship. This relationship you can practice on a daily level by looking through the eyes of the scriptures or by looking through the eyes of devotees. And by doing your spiritual practices, like the chanting, chant for Krishna's pleasure, and you will feel more and more taste awaken in your life. Bhaktisiddha Maharaj, a dear friend of many of us, left me with a personal instruction. We always considered ourselves a little similar in one sense. He was very qualified, but both of us believed very much in the finer perceptions of life and the deeper areas of the human mind. So we were both a little bit interested in spiritual life, spiritual things. And he before he left his body, he came to me in something which was more than a dream. I saw him in my sleeping room. I woke up with a start. Is it? Do we say like this?
You were startled.
I was startled. Yes. I saw him sitting on the chair, and he said, Sachinanda Swami. I'm happy I had a friend like you. I've come to say goodbye. In 3 or 4 days I will go. I have a question now for you. So I was very moved and I said, Maharaj, no question, please tell me, how is it to die? He said, I have a question for you. In your heart are 2 dogs fighting. Who will win? I said, Maharaj, I just can't think now in these riddles or these questions. I was so startled to be in your to see you, you know. Think. He was not going on my level. Think. 2 dogs fighting, who will win? You give the answer. I can't think. Then he said, that dog will win whom you give food. And then he disappeared. 3 days later, he said he didn't know exactly if he would take 3 or 4 days. He took 3 days. He left his body and I cried tears of gratitude that he had brought that point to me. We have these two, I always understood it like this. We have a material side, a conditioned side, and a side which is slowly awakening, a spiritual side. And if we want a genuine spiritual life, we have to feed our spiritual side. That will win. If we feed our material side, then that will win. It's very simple. But it needs practice. Hare Krishna. You are looking at me, and I'm looking at you. I sincerely wish you all the best. We will have a short question and answer session and then we will do a little kirtan. I have decided to end a little bit earlier. I will, it's now according to my time, 10 minutes to 1, because I thought we could, those of you who wish, we could chant up till the Sunday feast, which is at 2 o'clock. We could chant japa together, which is very nice to do. But let me now see if you have any questions regarding this subject matter. I see there's one person. Then I see Yoga Kishore, is it you? It's you. And I see our devotee, Adi Guru Prabhu. So let us start with these 3 devotees. Yes, Mataji, please ask your question. Yes, microphone is also there, I think.
In the morning class, you mentioned that Krishna is more eager to get his back than he can desire. Just now you mentioned that sometimes devotees may be struggling for, you know, months or 10 years or 20 years and not feel the reciprocation from Krishna. So just wanted to understand.
How do we bring the two things together?
Very limited in my understanding and perception of deeper cleansing process that's happening. If you would just, from your experiences, because sometimes it just takes them away for good, sometimes it just keeps struggling for decades. And so where is Krishna's, how do you perceive Krishna's eagerness in the absence of populace?
I have two answers. Is Mataji's question clear to all of us? We hear Krishna is more eager to take us back than when we can desire. Pardon, we see on the one hand devotees struggling so hard and Krishna seems to not do anything at all to show his eagerness. He seems to be silent. It is my deep conviction, I will speak now from my own experience, that there is always a story behind the story. I think that the fire of ordeal, the fire, you know, of yearning for Krishna has to become strong. And stronger and stronger and stronger and yet stronger and still stronger, because this is a country of love, of blazing love, it's called in Nectar of Devotion. So until you are ablaze, how will you enter the kingdom of fire if you have not become fire? And I think through our karmas which happen, these are karma, and our increasing Krishna conscious response to our karmas, we will become purified. This goes on one level. Maharaji, now I go to another level. Simultaneously to the fire of ordeal, another thing goes on. And that is Krishna's inconceivable mercy, which doesn't look out for qualification. And I think, or I have observed, this mercy becomes condensed and visible at the time of death. I have seen so many devotees dying exalted deaths after the struggle was finally over. I wrote a poem about this when my secretary departed from this world, a wonderful devotee, an exemplary devotee. I wrote in her voice, it goes like this: when you see me on my last day in the coffin with a pale face, then don't cry. Do you cry when the shell of an oyster breaks and the pearl finally rolls free? Do you cry when the long struggle is finally over and from the caterpillar a beautiful and the cocoon becomes shred to pieces and a beautiful butterfly flies out? This is only another evening of my life. Soon I'm rising again in a happy birthday. And who knows? Maybe the great dancer has called me to the banks of the river Jamuna. So don't cry. I think we must see the story behind the story. On one level, struggle goes on. The oyster shell breaks. The little thing, you know, which is not yet the butterfly, just grows and grows and morphs in that, what is called the cocoon, huh? The hormones are boiling in that little being, you know, and it's a struggle. But it's a struggle towards an end. It's not meaningless. And at the time, which we call the last examination, I have faith that Krishna gives some extra help, you know. Even to a bad student, he might give the whole work. He is, just write it down, you know. I have seen this, and I have this faith. That's the only way I can answer your question. Hare Krishna. Yoga Kishorji.
Thank you very much for this wonderful seminar. Yes, to be taken up with the family also. This question is regarding the exercise that we went through. I don't know how much I access this inner space, sacred space. How much I access the sacred space. For better results, what do you suggest? Because definitely, you know, there is some experience in order. So do you recommend it every day? And for better results, how do you suggest us to practice it?
Mm-hmm.
There is a question. The comment is, I request you to tell the audience, this can be done not as a substitute to chanting.
Thank you very much, Yogesh Kishorji. Very good question. I suggest for you to understand when we speak about the sacred space, we speak actually about Krishna consciousness, which is described to be a level of consciousness, Prabhupada said, above the clouds. He gave that analogy when you fly with the airplane up and you come high above the clouds, you see things differently and you are also not disturbed by the lack of sunshine, which is when you are underneath the clouds. So Krishna consciousness is that level where you meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead above the clouds of Maya. And this is what the sacred space means. To be on that level of Krishna consciousness. Now, I suggest three practices which we have seen on the thing, you know, I can just say, understand your eternal soul, take the observer role, and connect with the divine. Now, this connection with the divine is what, with Krishna, is where the most emphasis should lie on. And on the sacred space seminar part 2, I teach 5 powerful processes which you will easily recognize. They're called Panchanga Bhakti. Starting with Sadhu Sangha, Bhagavat Smaran, Naam, here's your Naam, Naam Kirtan, Mathura Vasa, and Moti Seva. Or in simple English, these processes which bring you into this space are association with devotees, reading and relishing the Bhagavatam, chanting the holy names, living in Vrindavan, either physically or in the mind, and finally serving the deities. Prabhupada says, or Rupa Goswami says, actually, that even a slight contact with any one of those will evoke devotional ecstasies even in a beginner. Even in a beginner. And we all know from all these 5 processes, there's one which stands supreme. you have mentioned it, the chanting of the holy name. So yes, but what I want to do here, Yuga Kishore, is and all of you, I feel many devotees are doing their spiritual practices without an understanding of the first step in self-realization. Really, for me, one of my biggest awakening was when I read in the Bhagavad Gita that the beginning is you must understand you are not the body. And it's here again. Prabhupada would consistently teach it. Did you notice how often he said you are not the body? Did you notice that? And did you ask him, my God, why again and again? I mean, I got it, you know. It's because this is the very first step in self-realization. But without having done this, you will just be tra-la-la-la devotee. The very first step in self-realization, he says, is realizing one's identity as separate from the body. I am not this body, but am a spirit soul, is an essential realization for anyone who wants to transcend death and enter into the spirit world and beyond. So I have designed this seminar which I am giving. I want to start with an audience which is very, very good to teach, that is total beginners, because they will take it serious. You know, there was this school, it said, the school in Vienna, a music school, Prabhupada talks about it, which would make the best music teachings. You know, anyone who came from the school was a virtuoso, like Gaura Hari, and better, even if that is possible. But they would ask for more fees of students who had already studied music for a long time, because they had to first unlearn them what they knew or what they thought they knew. For newcomers it was easier because they could start right with that point one, point two, point three. So I sometimes see that although Prabhupada has said so often we must first come on the spiritual platform to start anything, that the devotees have not paid sufficient attention. They have paid a lot of attention to prasadam, which shows in the voluminous forms which they have adopted. But they have not paid sufficient attention to the first step, you know. And therefore, I like to not provocate my audience, really. I'm a peaceful person by now. But if I want to bring the devotees there, I have to just drive them crazy, that they go under the ceiling, and then they will think, well, my God, he said this, you know. You can only do it when you are a guest for a few hours, and then you leave. In Germany, I can't do this. They will hang me. So I want to bring them to another space. It's very important for me. Otherwise, they don't take this serious. They just practice a tra-la-la-la version of Krishna consciousness. First steps first. There's this book, First Things First. So in the seminar, the statement is, first steps first. Yuga Kishorji, you had one question. We will see, we have to go on to the other person. But you can ask me, you know, if there's no one else, then we will go back to you. But and you can ask me personally. But yes, Adi Guru Prabhu, what is your well-considered question?
Maharaj, I had this, I attended your seminars and actually very grateful to you for seminars on all the 3 days, and it really helped my spiritual life.
Now can you have a microphone, please?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So very grateful to you, Maharaj, for all the 3 days. Now, you said some amazing points. We may have heard this many times, but you know, it really, the way you presented and emphasized it in a much deeper way. Now, my question to you is like, we are carrying a lot of baggage of past, emotional baggage and cultural baggage and all kinds of weights on our consciousness. And then when you say, and you know, you are teaching us that how to, that we must practice spiritual life with taste, and we must connect with divine. So how do you break the shackles of which are holding us back again and again? Like, we hear from you, we are very fired up right now, mm-hmm. but again our consciousness drags us back within 2 hours.
That is a very good point. Do you appreciate Adi Guru Prabhu's point?
Yes.
Very good point. Yeah. No. Adi Guru Prabhu and all of you, please listen now very carefully. This is an important thing. I'm very grateful for this question. Every human being acts according to habits. Habits are, in Sanskrit, sanskaras, deep impressions which are in the mind and which inform your actions, but before your actions also your thought patterns. Habits. Habits are very, very strong. They are formed over a period of years, and it's very difficult to break a habit. I want to show you this. Please fold your arms. Is this how you feel comfortable? Just change the position, and usually it's the position which you take on first which is comfortable. Now I want to ask you, is your right hand over your left elbow, or is, oh my God, Sukhavaha, how do you say this? I think you say, like, how do you fold? Is it right over left? Yeah, here. How, this is how it goes. Is it right over left or left over right? This is how it goes.
Yes.
Sukhavaha, how is it in your case?
Right over left, and my right hand's tucked up.
Yeah, right over left. Okay, who is right over left? Raise your hand. Very good. And so who is the opposite, left over right? Dobro. Now, you will enter into a most unusual exercise. Change the position. If you are like Sukhavaha, right over left, then fold left over right. When you are like non-Sukhavaha, then do it the other way around. How do you feel now?
Uncomfortable.
Unnatural.
Awkward.
Awkward.
I feel the same.
I feel the same. Yeah. Usually, it's like this. We fold our arms out of a habit. It's called a physical habit, not a mental habit. We are not aware of it. We always do it. But when we break the habit, we all of a sudden become aware. Oh, we feel awkward, you know. This is what happens. This is how strong habits are. This is a foolish little habit. You know, there are many other habits. We always do them because they control our activities and our thinking. Because I'm a student of psychology, I know what to say to make my servant uncomfortable. I don't do this, hopefully. Because I know exactly how he thinks. And then, he is a habit, it's called a conditioned habit, which is ingrained in. I also have such habits, and my servant also knows how to drive me on the paths, and he sometimes does it. These are habits. Habits are very strong. And that's why you experience what you have described. You do something, you do something during a retreat, but very soon after the retreat, your old habits kick in and they begin to rule your life again. Because they are coming from a subconscious area and they are very strong. They are sanskaras. So this is the bad news I have for you. You will go back. Where do you live, Adiguru? In Vrindavan? New Vrindavan. You will go back to your activities and you will meet so and so and you will do this and this, and again life as usual continues. And the remembrance of the seminar will be, wow, what happened there? That's all. That's all. But I have also good news for you, Adiguru. You can create new habits. By doing something again and again over a period, now it comes psychology, of 40 days, you create a new habit. It's like in India, they have this clay and they put it in the sun. And after for so and so many days, I don't know how many, the clay is baked and you can build a brick house with them. So if you do something consistently over some time, you create a new good habit. And this is our chance. You create a self-perpetuating habit, it's called in English. Again and again and again. This is what we found out in our Japa and Kirtan retreats. We got so disappointed because all of our participants said, yes, it was wonderful, but after a few days, life as usual came back. And I felt frustrated. What am I doing? This is not how I want to spend the rest of my life, you know, doing nothing as a preacher. And then we developed this Japa workbook where we bring our audience through a period of 40 days, or 30 to 40 days, and they create new habits. In our tradition, this is embedded by, you know, doing things like the Kartik Vrata. You do for 30 days, the month of Kartik, very spiritual activities. Or Purushottam Mas. You'd add something during the Purushottam Mas, which then you do again and again. Or you do it in our tradition, the Brajmandal Parikrama. You live for traditionally 40 days in Braj and you circumambulate the holy land of Vrindavan. Who has done this year, may I ask?
Yeah, no,
yeah, not yet. In the past. I wanted to ask in the past. Have you completed? No, the idea is to complete 30 days. Then the effect is there. Or you do like what we do. We always sing in the Dhammaram. What is it?
Namami Svaram Satchidananda Rupam Lasatka.
Jama Chandra 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 Jama Chandra
Ramachandra ki. Go Premanandi. Not finished. Turn to your partner, please, or any other person, not the same partner necessarily. Maybe sometimes it's good to turn to someone different. Who has not yet found a partner, please look around and you will find one. Here comes now the important question. It's a very important question for you. Our Adi Guru Prabhu has made a point I wanted to make at the end, and given a chance for an answer, that is, create a new habit to change your life. That was the idea. I would now like to ask you to discuss with your partner, the following question. What could you take with you from the retreat experience? It doesn't have to be exactly the point, because as you have noted, the subject matter is quite broad. It's about how to increase our Krishna consciousness and come to the level. What could be a realistic habit, that means something which you persistently do, which you could take with you? Don't say, from this day on I will chant 64 rounds every day. Don't say, I will be on the highest level of my Krishna consciousness from this. Say things like, well, when I'm coming in the same situation which used to evoke certain responses from me, I will act differently. Say things like, in my rounds I've understood I must chant with a connection so that taste comes. Okay, so I will make it a habit to chant at least 5 of my rounds before Radha Brindavan Chandra. Be very concrete. Say things like, okay, I understood I have to nourish my spiritual side more, so let me go for the Tulsi in the Mahaprasad. You know, be very concrete. Or, I'm going to Vrindavan in a few weeks or so, and in Vrindavan I will do certain things and do like this. It should be something which you can do and which you like to do also, not something you force yourself. Find something. I'm sure there is something. If you don't now go for unrealistic things, I will turn to Mother Sukavaha. Is it a clear question?
Putting out an intention of what you
want. Yes. But to be more precise, put out an intention what you wish to do. We started with an intention, right? And now comes your retreat part 2, that is living after the retreat. And you will see, just like the intention helped you in this retreat to attend the classes and not be flunkies. I saw no flunkies. I saw 2 flunkies actually, but that's all right. That's to be expected, you know. But everyone was really right on. You were on time. My God, I even was surprised. I was sometimes late in comparison to you, and so on. It helped you to do what you did. I mean, 1.5 days, that's easy, you know, but let us not be too much self-praise is dishonest, you know. But you did quite well. So now an intention is required for what comes now, so that we don't go into the Adi Guru trap. I'm joking. This is all of our situation. It's not Adi Guru's problem. We are, so that we don't go in the trap of the ordinary prison life. Huh? Yes. Okay. This is quite an intense thing. We will spend about 4 minutes on this. Is it too long? Short. 2 minutes. 2 minutes on this. Sorry, 1 minute each person. Yeah, 1 minute each person. Usually what comes up immediately is a good thing. So here comes the question. Slujate, listen. What could be a positive spiritual intention which you take with you for the days which now follow after the retreat? Please share this with your partner. You have 1 minute, and I will remind you of the time. Start now. more seconds. In closing, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. I have forgotten one thing. I feel very embarrassed. I'm a little tired. You know, when I sang this song, the Damodarashtaka, I wanted to show you how something which we always do becomes a habit. Did you notice when you heard the first lines of the song, you went, the habit kicked on, Namo, and you were all in Kartik mood, you know. This is how powerful habits are. This was my illustration for you, Adi Guru Prabhu, that you could see this, you can see this is how powerful they are. And immediately, I saw immediately my little room in Vrindavan, and we do every evening a puja, and I was right there. Be so strong are habits. This is so strong. You can make habits work for you. Why should you make habits work against you? Create new habits. Just, you need to be in the beginning a little bit disciplined. They say 40 days or so. Oops. So. Good. Thank you. I'm very honored. It was a wonderful experience when Jai Krishna Prabhu invited me. I thought, oh, yeah, I mean, yes. I do this so often, and oh, can't I just be a little peaceful, you know? but then when I thought about it, I thought it was a brilliant idea, and I want to thank him very much, and Malati, who in the back arranged also many, many things. Very, very honored. It's one of my highlights of the year to sit with you in this cave-like room without any daylight. You know, it reminds us on the sacred space of the heart. I know Jai Krishna wants to say something. I just have to ask Gaura Hari and Anunandini to make two technical announcements connected with this seminar. So, yes, go on.
Yeah, I know that most of you will meet today. If you someone would like to follow again the Japa session, this afternoon you can come to me and we can make a little meeting. And I still have a few books.
When, where?
Yeah, depends on how many people come to me and then we just.
Raise their hands.
Yeah, they could raise their
hands.
You just come to me as soon as it is finished, and then we will figure it out. And also I have a few books and few CD lamps if someone of you are interested.
Yes, Hare Krishna. I just want to remind all of you who haven't signed up for the newsletter and who still wish to do so, please do. It's just in the back. You see, it's on the flip chart. It says Amritavani newsletter. And what we try to do is we try to create sustainable, so to say, training so that the devotees who have attended some of our retreats can get the new server and, if possible, practice what is being requested to practice in the new server. And in this way, we try to guide you. Until now, we have done this for our Japa retreats and for the Panchama Bhakti retreat. And those devotees who really practice, they have given us wonderful feedbacks. So one thing is to sign up for the newsletter, but the other thing is that if you really want to make something out of it and not just have it on your computer, it's good if you practice. And and yeah, see you next time for some other retreat. And also we should tell you that two next retreats which Maharaj is leading, together with his great guru and Prabhu, are the Japa and Kirtan retreat in Varshana. And the second one, the dates, it's first week after Kartik. So please, for all information, you can go on www.vihe.org. It's the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education webpage. And there you will find the retreat dates. And then
this year also Giriraj Maharaj joins us for the as a teacher in Varshana Vrindavan. Huh? It's in Vrindavan.
Yes. So it's really it's not the new Vrindavan, it's the Adi Vrindavan. And it's on the sacred hill of Varshana. But much of the sessions we do